Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a great morning, a great day, a little cooler out there, but great day to be alive.
Amen.
Great day to be alive. As we're going to start over in Genesis chapter 1. but when we get there, right, you guys get in there, talk a little bit. So this morning we're going to talk about the gift of human life.
That's right.
That is a gift. Human life, gotta love it. You know, life is always good, no matter what you're going through. I was sharing with Patricia and Richard this morning, you know, considering all the health issues that the Dockery household has been dealing with, I was saying, God's been good. God's been good. Life has been good because we have not wanted for nothing. And well, I should say, you know, I wanted for nothing except to get better. That's it. But we have not wanted financially for nothing. God has provided. And he just kind of took that load off of us so that we could kind of heal the correct way. And I'm so grateful for that. And I think a lot of times when you're going through illnesses or you're going through difficult times or you're struggling with something, whether it's a physical illness, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's a spiritual illness, stuff like that can seem to overwhelm you at times. They just feel like this is overwhelming you and you feel like you're being overrun with that difficult situations. But what I've learned that if you take time to realize it is what it is right now, we are where we are, but there will be a tomorrow because God is in control. You realize the struggle is not as bad as you think it is. Because tomorrow will come and today will pass, giving you another opportunity to overcome whatever you're going through.
That's right.
You know, so I just grateful to God, just praising God. You know, for most of you guys know, Sharice is going through illness, but she got approved for a disability. Yesterday, got a letter I got home in the mail saying she was approved. And I was like, oh man, that's awesome. You know, so, you know, I'm grateful. And I remember she talking, say, you know what? It may not be what you're used to as an income, but guess what? It's more than what I was going to have if I had zero. You understand?
Yep.
So it's things you have to be like, got to be grateful for that.
Yes.
You know, because whoever came up with, hey, we need to create a disability fund for people. I'm grateful whoever did that. Never knew I would need this day. So just really grateful. But I want to talk about the gift of the human life. That is so precious that I think a lot of times we just take for granted.
Yeah.
Human life. This depends on where you're born, where you were raised, where you may have moved to, communities, climates, whatever, but the human life, it is a gift to be living, to be breathing, as they say, breathing and kicking. Moving around, limbs are working, taste buds are working. I hope your taste buds are working over Thanksgiving, because if they wasn't, you were going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But then again, you could have been disappointed if somebody didn't do something right. But just the human life is an amazing thing to have. And I want to talk about that this morning, about the gift called the human life, and we just really need to appreciate it. You know, long before you and I was born, God created this gift called the human life. Ain't that so?
Yes.
This was and is a divine decision. Oh, man. That you and I should exist. Yeah, think about that. When you think about it, it's a divine decision that you and I should exist. Think about the paperwork or the projects you had to write to bring to life. Now, all those projects you had to write out is not breathing, but it was a choice of yours to give this ideal. It was a choice of yours to give this project life. Because you knew it meant something and it was going to be able to impact others in some other way and in some ways impact you. I think about that when you think about, man, I'm going to make a decision to make something, to bring something into existence. This is what God did. He made a decision to bring you and I into existence. The life you and I have is a divine gift. Not just some gift. It's a divine gift. When you think about that, man, divine gift. Looking at Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27. Let's see what makes this gift so divine. In verse 27, it says, so God created mankind. Actually, I'm talking verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Wow. First point is, we talked about what makes life a divine gift. God says he is your template.
That's right.
I don't know what, what a template is, but God said he is your template. He is your blueprint, that you were designed from. Do you get that? God is the blueprint for which you were designed from. He is the template for which you were made from. He is the actual molding and casting that you were made from. Wow. A lot of things are created from different things in this world, but you're created from a divine being. He used his own image, his own likeness, his own characteristics to give you life. God took a piece of himself and made you. That's special. He took a piece of himself and made you. Wow. How special is that really? When someone gives you a piece of themselves, that means a lot to them. You know, we give a lot of ourselves to people. And we like, but you know, it's like I'm opening up another door, letting you in a little deeper in me, and I'm willing to share this part of me with you. God did that. God said, I'm giving this, you are so dear to me, I'm giving this piece of me to you. Wow. When most people have babies, they like to name their sons juniors. Some go as far to say he's going to be the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth. And I'm like, we're going to stop at all those Roman numerals, brother. Yeah. We got to get some individuality here, okay? The fourth don't really look like he at all, you know. But, you know, when someone gives you a piece of themselves, man, that means a lot to them. God gave you a piece of himself, and that means a lot to him. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to know that you have been carbon copied from God's own likeness? Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you to know that God says, I am the blueprint from which I will construct you from? What does that mean to you to know that God says, I'm your template? If you ever wonder how you have been built and made, just look at me. I am your template. You would think, man, why would God do that? John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, it says, get that, verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Wow. God says the reason why God said he used himself as a template, as a blueprint. God said the reason why he carbon copied himself in your image. Because he chose you. Think about that. God says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That is amazing. He's talking about thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands or whatever many eons and years. God had a plan to say, guess what? I want you to exist. God said, I want you to exist. And God says, guess what? I want you to look. Feel, have all my characteristics. You mean a lot to God. This is why God chose you. Of course, he goes on to talk about, you know, bearing fruit that lasts forever. And that is a true point here. But God wants you to understand that he chose you. He chose you to give a life. 1 Corinthians. Six got popping around a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we know that God chose us. God chose us to have this human life. He chose us to in his image. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? He says, guess what? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Not only did he choose you, but God says, you are precious to him.
Sure.
So precious that not only, guess what, did he carbon copy himself and made you, but he gave you another piece of him by putting his Holy Spirit inside of you.
Amen.
That's amazing. He just keeps giving. God just keeps giving. The human life that we live is a gift. It is a gift. What are we doing with it? God carbon copied himself. He gave you his Holy Spirit. And later we're going to talk about how he gave you Jesus. He just keeps giving. He just keeps giving. God says, man, I chose you and you are precious. Go with me over to John chapter, gospel, back to gospel, John chapter 10. Second point we're going to talk about is this gift of the human life. We're going to talk about live life to the full. Man, what are we to do with this gift? Point two is we need to live life to the full. Can you say that you're living life to the full at this point in time? You got to think about it. You're like, well, what does that mean to live life to the full? You know, broaden my view. Open me up. Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10. I love this. In this old passage, he's talking about the shepherd and how God talks about how you need to be careful to, you know, stay amongst the shepherds, stay amongst the sheep, and you need to be careful of just outside influences and stuff and outside people who do harm. But in this particular verse, he says, the thief, I love it, he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. You look at this context, he's talking about the devil, he's talking about the evil one and how he influences people who wants to do evil, people who just refuse to say, I'm going to comply with God, instead I'm going to live a rebellious life. He says, but guess what? The thief, and the chief thief is the devil. He wants to come in, he wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. He means you no good. But Jesus says, let me tell you something, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Wow. Two different contrasts. He wants you to live life to the full. That's the reason why he came. God said, I created you. I'm your template. I'm your blueprint. He says, guess what? I've deposited the Holy Spirit in you. Guess what? So you can have some divine guidance. He says, guess what? Man, Jesus came so that you can continue to live life to the full. If Jesus would have never came, where would this world be? Wouldn't even be here. Life to the full. What does that look like? Man, I looked up two words, looked up several translations. One of them says, you know, live life abundantly. Abundantly means in large quantities and plentifully. The word full means containing or holding as much, as many as possible, having no empty space. They say, you know what that look like at Thanksgiving. You tried to pack that plate till you couldn't get nothing on it. There was nothing on it. You were like, I can eat the edge of the plate. You know, you just overpack it, overstuff it. That's it. You know, so we know what the word full means, you know. But I think about what is God saying, man? Live life to the full so that you have it. Several things came to mind. I thought about the professional journey. Being a professional in your career. Working hard. Start out having a lot of ideas. You know, just thinking about a lot of things you want to do in the company that you're with. You're excited about that company. You know, man, I see great things going. You're hoping to further that professional career. God says in that area, you need to live life to the full. Maximize as much as you can do in that company. Get as much as you can get out of it. Because as you impact your company, the company's going to impact you.
That's right.
Maximize your professional career. Your charitable journey. Man, got to be givers. I'm so grateful that God compels us to give here at the Church in the Kingdom because we want to see it advance. But where else are you giving? How is your charitable journey working out? That part of our life needs to be lived to the full. God always talks about, you know, giving to the poor. God always talks about, he has so many stories in the Bible about, man, how helping those who had little
or helping those who had diseases, or helping those who were shunned and wasn't accepted. How is your charitable journey looking? We need to live life to the full in our charitable journey. And I want you to understand this.
I think about the woman who gave it. Jesus, he loved the story. He gave it two copper coins. The world says, guess what? If you ain't giving big, it don't matter. Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you something. You give it two copper coins, God said you gave bigger than anybody else in the world.
Sure.
Don't let the enemy get in there. This is such a trap of the enemy. He starts making you measure yourself to the next person who has more. But they were able to do more. They was able to give more. That's a trap of the enemy. He would trap you in that mind and make you feel like what you're giving is worthless. Ain't worth giving. You shut them back. You don't give them more. If all you can do is some charitable community has something, all you can do, and it's on your heart to do it, you can give a dollar, you give that dollar. That dollar is more impactful than a person who put a check in there for $1 million. Mm-hmm. Don't let the enemy trap you. Live life to the full when it comes to your charitable giving. Live life to the full. What else can we live life to the full? Man, let's talk about in your community. You know, you can live in a lot of different communities. Right now in life, you're living so heavy. Put it this way. When you came up in life, you lived in the elementary community because you had to go to school elementary. That was a community. Middle school community, high school community. You lived in your town community. You moved away, you went to college, that was another community. You got a job here, that's another community. You join the gym, that's another community. There's so many different communities out there. But God wants you to live life to the full in your community. And I'm going to tell you why it's important to really live life to the full in community. Everybody's seen the show, It's a Wonderful Life. And he goes to this, he's having a crisis, a hard time, struggle with job, lose, don't know what you want to do. Just, you know, you lose your mind. But at the end, I noticed, and it's crazy, when you see these shows and you're like, you know, these shows are doing a lot of things, but at the end, you'd be like, I never noticed that before. So they open up the book, and I'm like, I never noticed this book before. You know, I'm reading the book, and in the book, it says, a man is never a failure who has many friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, this show been around so long, and I thought, you know what community is? Building great friendships. Mm-hmm. Building with great people, great friends in there, regardless where your neighbor is at. And when you build with your community, you build with friends, guess what? Man, you're a fool. My neighbor across the street, our hot water heater went out Thanksgiving morning. I woke up and said, there's no hot water. So I tried everything, called a few people. And I was talking to my landlord, and she's like, man. Well, let's see. Let me call so-and-so. Call him. We talk. And he said, Sydney. I said, I know it's Thanksgiving. Probably get nobody out of this. Not a call. So we did what we can do. And he says, if you know somebody, maybe somebody can come and do it for you. No. I said, okay. So I talked to him. She said, yeah, you can get somebody to do it. So my neighbor across the street, I know he does AC. And I said, I don't know if he can do it. The guy said, he can do it. He's AC tech. They can fix that. So my neighbor, he came out and said, man, don't worry about the dates. Come on. We'll survive. Come on over Friday and fix it. And so he came on over, got us going and everything, did everything he could. And you know, I was like, man, I am grateful. And I thought, we are from such two different worlds, even though we're neighbors, just totally two different people. But I think back to the relationship that I built with this guy, even though we're on two totally different planes. But I spent time to talk with him in the yard. We do stuff in the yard together sometimes. We talk. But I thought, if I had never built that relationship with him, that friendship, got involved with this community stuff with him, man, I'd have been stuck without hot water heat to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But because I built that community with him,
mm-hmm.
it pays off. A man who has friends is never a failure to something.
That's right.
God. Charitable giving.
Yep.
Charitable giving, man. Giving your community. I give him a lot of great conversations, share a lot of great things, a lot of advice with him, but hey, man, it pays off. Charitable giving, living life to the full is all about, it's also about your health. Recognize when your body's talking to you.
Amen.
If you don't, it will sit you down.
Yep.
If you want to know how I know, just ask me, sit down with me. I'm a witness. I can testify on both sides. Family. God, charitable giving in your family. Whether you have family now or have family in the future, man, love to give to your family. But give balanced. Just don't be giving to be given, but be balanced in your giving. But you know, just living life to the full, you know, just loving your family, loving them through their shortcomings
year after year, through their good times, their bad moments, their high moments,
just loving family.
Some family members may never, ever change. It may be because of the culture they grew up, they moved away from home and got caught into a cultural warp or whatever, it don't matter, but you love them. You be like God, and you love them. I'm gonna love you regardless.
Amen.
To the very end. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I'm gonna leave it with God, and let God decide. You want God to work it out. But I'm gonna do what I can do right now to impart on you some of God's grace. Through his word, through prayer, through kindness, through servitude. I'm gonna impart. Just live a life to the full. Loving your family regardless of where they are and keeping them in prayer. Finally, living life to the full spiritually. You want to live life to the full spiritually. Man, never stop praying to God. Never stop talking to God. Never stop reading your word. I know you might be like me, man, I read this, what you gonna tell me, do whatever. He said, Lord, I need some humility. Because for some reason, I think I know the Bible all of a sudden completely from front to back. But apparently I don't, and I know that I don't. You have got to live life to the full spiritually. Because there is a purpose and there is a point to it. Go with me over finally to 1 John. Why do I need to live life spiritually to the full? Final point is, because I want to live forever. I want to live forever. Last week I shared about how God deposited eternity inside your soul. It's there. It is there. And because it's there, you yearned. You and I both, we yearn to never die. We yearn to never know what the taste of death is. But I'm here to tell you, death is not a bad thing once you understand who God is. Death is not a horrible thing once you understand how God works. Death is just a transition. God said, hey, you can shed that old skin, that old flesh, and come home to me. 1 John chapter 5, 1, I'm going to read here for a little bit. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. It says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, he did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Final point, living forever. Man, living forever. So verse 1 through 5 focuses on, it talks about one of the keys to living forever is keeping God's command, being born of God, and believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah. Those are three things it focuses on. Verses 6 and through 13 talks about, hey, believing God's testimony. And he talks about how we so easily believe the testimony of man or all kind of other issues in situations. He says, but you know what? The greatest testimony that's ever been given has been by God. And he says, if you believe that testimony about his son, then guess what? You will be saved. You will have eternal life. And he says, if you believe in Jesus, you also have life. And I noticed something here he talks about. He says, there are three that testify about this. You think about the Trinity, God, Jesus, and you think about the Holy Spirit. Where he says there's three of them that testify about this. The water, the blood, and the spirit. It's amazing. There's three other that testify about this. And finally, he says, you know what? He writes this to those who believe to remind you that you have eternity, that you have eternal life. You know, if you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. You will live forever. The gift doesn't have to die if you don't want it to. Isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to understand this. The body just transitioned, and don't get it wrong, because God talks about in Revelation, read the last part of Revelation, Revelation 21 goes on down, and it talks about how it's seeing a new heaven and a new earth ascending down. So it's new, and the body's going to transform. But think about what God is saying, living life to the full, living forever. I can just imagine being in a place where I don't have to thump my toe no more, if I have a toe, hit my funny bone no more, you know, just things I don't have to deal with on this side. But the view and the perspective has to be right. A lot of times I talk to people and I say, hey, good day, how you doing? How is going on? How you feeling today? And they say this and I'm like, it makes me think, they say, well, you know what? Anytime I'm able to wake up on this side of the dirt, I'm good. And I hear that a lot from a lot of people. Anytime you wake up on this side of the dirt, I'm good. And my thought is like, your view is limited. Your perspective limited. Or maybe I'm not understanding you correctly. For some reason, you think that when you pass, that we're just going to lay in the dirt. And granted, I love this life here that I'm living right now. But I know that God has something that is better, that awaits me on the other side. And it's not in the dirt. Amen. I wasn't told that in the scripture.
Amen.
I was told, he just told me, look, the body will go going back to the dirt. He said, but as for you, you're coming home with me.
That's right.
It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You know, when your perspective is right and your view is right, living forever doesn't seem so far away.
Amen.
It just doesn't seem out of grasp. It seems like it's just right there, right for the taking. When your view and perspective is right, living forever is a joy. It's not a burden because you realize it won't be here on this earth and in this planet.
That's right.
It's going to be with the Lord. You know, man, living forever, it's a great thing. All you have to do is keep the commands of God. It's just that simple. And God says, that's love for me. And he says, guess what? My commands are not burdensome. But you know how we can be sometimes. You know how we are. We all was children at one time. We all was raised. We all thought our parents didn't know what they were talking about. We thought like, man, you're making this hard to be a child. You're making this hard to be a middle school. You're making this hard to be a teen. Why can't I grow up? Me and somebody was talking the other day. My daughter was in the car with us yesterday. And her friend was in town visiting. And her friend was talking about her another friend who just like turned 18. And like, she's like, no, it was a niece. So somebody was turning 18. She's like, talking about, she's going to talk about she grown at 18. She's talking about, she don't know what grown is. I'm 27. I got a child. Mr. Doctor, it's hard. I said, yep, you're learning adulting, are you? That's what's going on. You know, we all know what it's like when we think like we know better and we want to rebel. And we feel like the commands or the rules that our parents had, the boundaries that they put in place, like this is just unfair. It's difficult. The rules that our parents put in place is not for me. It's against me. Yep. We feel like that. Parents know best, just like God knows best. Why? Because parents have lived a little longer than their kids.
That's right.
And God has lived a lot longer than all of us. Mm-hmm. Living forever is easy. It's just a matter of do we want to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what it comes down to? Mm-hmm. Living forever is for easy. But God asks you every day, do you want to? And we say, yes, we do. And Lord says, all you got to do is keep my commands.
Yeah.
Learn them, understand them, and live them out. As simple as that. You know, the gift is a part of God's plan
that human life that he gave you that's going to transition from human life really to a spiritual life. It's a gift from God. And God desires for what he has created to never stop existing. God desires to see you and I live forever. God desires for you and I to live life to the full in many ways. He wants to see our cup constantly overflowing. He wants to see our plates full. God desires for you to live life to the full here, happy and content, regardless of what situation you're in, regardless of what you've gone through, what you're going through, and wherever you don't, whatever's coming around the corner you don't even know yet. But God wants you to live life to the full. And at the very end, right before you get ready to step into forever, God wants you to have no regrets.
That's right.
He don't want you to have no regrets. He don't want you going and talking about saying, I wish I could have did this. I wish I would have did this. What you did? No regrets. And as you live this life that God gives you, appreciate it.
Yep.
Not just by saying thank you, but let your actions say thank you. Let your actions every day say thank you. Appreciate it. The human life is a gift. Don't take it for granted. The human life is a gift. It's a privilege that a lot of people didn't get to see this far in their time on this earth. The human life is a gift. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Appreciate God for it. The human life is a gift. Be grateful and live. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.